Through this Easter season, the second reading at Mass is going to be taken from the book of Revelation. Now, the book of Revelation is undoubtedly the most difficult book in the Bible for us to understand. Many of our Protestant brothers and sisters tend to see in that book predictions of how the world's going to end, what the end times will be like. We as Catholics tend to understand the book in a very different way. We tend to understand it as something that was written in a time of persecution. It was written somewhat in a veiled language so that the Romans, the persecutors, could not fully understand what was being said. But it was written to encourage the Christians, encourage them to be faithful, to continue walking in the ways of Christ. If you go to the passage this morning, it tells us something that I think is important for us today. It gives us just a glimpse of the belief of Christians of that time. The book of Revelation was probably written somewhere in the last 10 years before the year 100. And so it gives us a glimpse of how those very early Christians looked at Jesus Christ. Now, you will notice in the reading today, it refers to Jesus as the Lamb that was slain. Why does it use that language? Well, the Lamb refers to the custom of the Jews right before the feast of Passover to slaughter a lamb or lambs in the temple. And those lambs are seen as somehow an offering to God to take away the sins of the people. Now, in the Gospel of St. John, St. John positions Jesus' crucifixion at the very hour when the lambs are being slain in the temple. And of course, earlier in the Gospel of John, John the Baptist refers to Jesus as the Lamb of God. John sees Jesus as the Paschal Lamb, as the true Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. And so here in the book of Revelation, he's referred to as the Lamb that was slain. What does that say for us today? Well, if we look at that reading and we see the worship that was going on, we know that those early Christians really held that this Jesus who was slain, this Jesus who offered his life, was truly God, because the praise and the worship there would have only been acceptable in the Jewish mind to the one who is God. And so that Lamb of God, that Jesus who was slain, was held by those early Christians to be truly the Lamb of God. Now that tells us that we too must worship this Lamb of God, this Jesus that was slain. That's why we reverence so much the Eucharist, because just as the worship in heaven worships him as the God, we too who live here on earth must also worship him. We try to do at least some here on earth what the angels and the saints do forever in heaven. That's why we reverence the Eucharist. We genuflect before the Eucharist. We bow before the Eucharist. That is why we have Eucharistic adoration, because we are in some way participating in the heavenly worship. We are acknowledging this one who died for us and rose for us, that he is truly our Lord and our God. If we go now to the gospel reading, that reading has three main scenes. The first scene is Peter and the other apostles out fishing, catching nothing, until Jesus appears on the scene and tells them where they are to fish. The second scene is around the fire, eating breakfast. If you'll notice that scene, the food is the same as the food that was used earlier in chapter 6 of John's gospel, you know, when he multiplies the loaves and the fish. And then right after that, it follows with the teaching about, I am the bread of life. Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you'll have no life in you. We have here in that passage the same food, reminding us of that event of the multiplication of the loaves and fishes and the teaching that followed it. The third scene is the dialogue between Peter and Jesus. Peter, do you love me? Three times. And three times Peter saying, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Jesus saying to him, feed my sheep, tend my lambs. Now, what is the message there? Well, the message, I think, could well be, just as those apostles could not catch those fish without the guidance of Christ, neither can we catch the fish. And here we have to think about the words Jesus said to Peter, from now on, you will be fishers of men. Those fish, the fish of evangelization, can only be done with the guidance, with the presence of Christ. If we try to go out and do it on our own, we will never gather them in. We will never catch people for Christ. The next scene refers us to Eucharist. Just as Jesus nourished those early apostles on the banks of that lake, Jesus wants to continue nourishing us with the gift of his body and blood, with the gift of his very life, so we can go about the work of bringing others to Christ. And then the third scene. Does it not teach us that the motivating force behind all that we do to gather others to Christ must be love for him? If it is not motivated by love for Christ Jesus, it will have no power. It will have no good effect. Now, how is that relevant to us? It is relevant in that each and every one of us have, in one way or another way, the responsibility of bringing others to Christ. Most of you will do that in your parenting, or even in your godparent or your grandparenting, maybe godparenting too. But those principles are always important. The guidance of Christ, being nourished by Christ, being filled with love for him. That will apply also to those who teach religion in our programs, whether it's First Communion preparation, confirmation preparation, generations of faith, marriage preparation, whatever it is. It must be done for love of Christ. Where does that love come from? I want to go back then to the second reading. When we come to know deeply that Jesus truly is the Lamb of God, the innocent Lamb who gave his life for us, who suffered for us, who had no need for us, yet died that we might have life. Now that love may not be a strong emotional feeling. It's much more a commitment. We know that he gave himself for us. Can we give ourselves to him? Can we commit our lives to him? That is the essence of the love that he seeks. The gift of ourselves to him. The commitment of our lives to him.